May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni. John's account of Jesus' resurrection from the tomb set in a garden outside of Jerusalem reminds me of another story that took place earlier, much earlier, at the beginning of the Bible. I see some similarity in the encounter between Jesus, thought to be a gardener, and Mary, to the first encounter, ever encounter between God and man. In the Garden of Eden, God was looking for Adam and Eve, who were hiding from him. God asked them, Adam, Adam, where are you? And in the garden of Jesus' tomb, as Mary was looking for the body of Jesus, the master gardener, freshly from the grave, asking Mary, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? He asked that not because he didn't know who Mary was looking for, but because he wanted to know whether Mary had the right perspective, the right depth of vision, the kind of vision you get only with eyes of faith. First, Mary didn't get it. She replied, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Mary was still not using her depth vision lens to find Jesus. However, the moment gardener called her by her name Mary, her eyes were opened. Now she could see him deeply, clearly. Then she saw Jesus in the gardener standing right next to her. This was the second resurrection that day. Jesus is once again raised, this time raised from the tomb of Mary's own self. Where is the proof of resurrection for Mary? It was not the empty tomb that John and Peter and Mary herself had witnessed earlier. Friends, the real proof of resurrection for you and me won't happen until Jesus rises from the dingy tombs of our own hearts and minds. Then each of us would become walking proof of resurrection. Each of us would become the walking proof of resurrection. Let me ask this morning, each of you, what is resurrection for you? What is Easter for you? Is it just a date on the calendar? Is it just a day when we feel obligated to go to church and to feel good that by going to church somehow we met the requirement of being a Christian? Do we confess resurrection and celebrate Easter just to assure ourselves our future salvation? A place in heaven as a reward when the time comes around for that sort of thing? Is Easter just a cultural thing for us? if your resurrection has to mean more than what it is now for you and me, we need more than proof of an empty tomb. For Mary, seeing the tomb wasn't sufficient. It wasn't enough. She didn't take the empty tomb as an answer to her quests. She yearned for something more close, more personal, though she didn't know what to call it. And she was rewarded for her wanting to have a personal encounter, a personal resurrection. She received a new perspective, a new way of looking, kind of a paradigm shift, so to speak. With that, she was able to experience the resurrection, able to see Jesus right in front of her. Now, with this new perspective, what are the promises? What are the gifts of resurrection? For Mary, it altered her perspective on her identity. In calling Jesus Rabboni, or teacher, in a way different from before, she now viewed herself as a disciple of Jesus. This is the first time she called Jesus Rabboni, teacher. So this is a new identity as a disciple of Christ. You find your identity or calling by becoming what God wants you to be in the world. Till then, you don't find your identity. God has a purpose for each one of us. And when you find that, that is when you find your calling, your identity. All of a sudden, you begin to trust that who God said you were all along might actually be true. This was very true in my own life. For a long time, as many of you know, I resisted trusting my call to be a priest in the church. However, once touched by the resurrection hope and perspective, once the paradigm shift occurred in me, I became confident in following my true identity, my true calling. I remember well that day when I went to see my priest to tell about my decision to follow my calling in seeking ordination in the holy orders. He told me something I never knew. He said, "We have been waiting for this day. We have been waiting for this day." I realized that God had something in mind for me that I have not allowed myself to believe. God had something for me that I did not allow myself to believe. Imagine that. Another gift of experiencing resurrection in your life is an effusion, an outflow of confidence in proclaiming. See how Mary made her maiden sermon, her first sermon to Jesus' men disciples. She was the first disciple, a woman disciple. She went to the men disciple and she said, powered by the gift of resurrection, she confidently proclaimed, "I have seen the Lord." Just one sentence, that was the greatest sermon. "I have seen the Lord." Came right out of her heart. She did so from the midst and middle of all that which seems to be opposite of resurrected life. She was not afraid to speak the truth of her experience with the risen Lord at a time when the followers of Jesus were being chased and hunting down. All of Jesus' followers were in hiding or fleeing in undercover from Jerusalem. Mary's message, "I have seen the Lord," needs to be heard ever more loudly today than at any other time in the history of our country and our world. People need to hear the most assuring words of Mary, "I have seen the Lord." When people only see violence and pain and hatred, despair, fear, corruption, lies, racism, sexism, homophobia, and terrorism all around them, they need to hear the Christian counter narrative. "I have seen the Lord." Here at St. Peter's, we see risen Jesus in the gardeners who tend our lawns and our gardens. We see risen Jesus in maids who work in the hotels and motels and offices out of sight in the night. We don't call them just functional people. We don't call them as undocumented and illegals. We don't call them as thugs and rapists and drug runners. They are safe in our church and in our sanctuary. We see risen Jesus in the homeless, in those who are down and out, who come to our pantry and our community lunches every day of the week. We see risen Jesus in the least, in the lost, and the last, in the most vulnerable people. We see risen Christ in the displaced peoples of Central America. They are driven out of their homes because of gang violence or natural disasters. For our parishioners, going to El Salvador is a pilgrimage. When they see the human rights work of Christosol and other non-profit organizations changing the lives of the people in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, they are reminded of the resurrection hope of Archbishop Romero, who himself was shot to death by an assassin while he was preaching in the Chapel of Divine Providence Cancer Hospital. Let me read you his last words before the bullet fell him. He was standing behind the altar table and giving his homily, and he was about to enter into the Eucharist. And that is, he was finishing up his sermon. And he said, "May this body immolated and this blood sacrificed for humans nourish us also, so that we may give our body and our blood to suffering and pain, like Christ, not for self, but to bring about justice and peace for all people. Let us join together then, intimately in faith and hope at this moment of prayer for Donna Sarita and our souls." And just as he finished this sentence, a shot rang out in the chapel and Archbishop Romero mortally wounded and died within minutes. Every time we go to El Salvador, we go to this chapel where he stood and gave this homily and where he was shot. We stand around that altar and we hold our hands and say Lord's Prayer together. Each drop of his blood today is proclaiming, "I have seen the Lord." And they are serving as the seeds of hope and transformation in El Salvador and other places in Central America and South America and Latin America. Friends, we also can be like Mary. We come here this morning with our own wounds, our lives bound up, traumatized, groping in the darkness, seeking relief from our pain, our guilt, and our shame of our betrayals and our denials, and keeping distance from Jesus and his cross. Are we willing, like Mary, to have resurrection as the culmination, not as the, not like the Good Friday as the last word. How have we seen, how have we not seen risen Lord in the strangers in our midst? How have we not seen the wounds of the risen Lord in the poor, in the hungry, in the abused, in the fleeing migrants from El Salvador or refugees from Syria, or in the homeless in Phoenixville? How easy it is not to have seen the risen Lord in each other. Like Mary, we can be confident in our vocation and in our witnessing of the risen Lord, saying, I have seen the Lord. That will unbind us, let loose ourselves from the bands of grave cloths, and let us live into God's new reality, God's new future for us. Let us pray to God and let God know our deepest desire for the gift of faith, so that we can fully appreciate the life God has entrusted us with. And we can fully follow God's dream for us, for each one of us, in all aspects of our life. Let us make this Easter really, really personal, by saying with Mary loudly and confidently, I have seen the Lord. Shall we all say, I have seen the Lord? I have seen the Lord. Amen.